With no further ado, I'd love to introduce to you Steve and or Roz. I don't know who's coming up, but for those who don't know Steve and Roz, you're in for a treat. These are very precious friends of ours that as a church we were a part of sending them off some 20-something years ago to Mozambique, where they've spent the better part of that time ministering to the community, the orphans over in that part of the world. We've had a privilege a number of times over the years to send mission teams over to Mozambique, and we have a team, 10 people, who have signed up to go over later this year. But these guys, Steve's going to bring the word. We'd love to pray for you. I don't know if you're both coming or one. Would you welcome them? They're both coming. Great. Always a treat to have you guys with us. Stand here. And would you all join with me as we just pray for these wonderful folk here. Father, thank you for Steve. Thank you for Roz. Thank you more than anything for their heart for you. Thank you that they know you. Thank you that they're loved by you. Thank you for the call that you put on their lives many years ago, that they're still living in and walking out the fruit of that in many different ways. Father, thank you for your blessing in advance, the blessings they've seen, but the blessings yet to come in their life. We pray in this season of their life for everything they need, for health, for finances, for support, for encouragement, and for a greater reality than they've known of your love for them and your goodness and kindness that you extend towards them. We just pray for this morning as they share and they bring the word to us. Lord, may it be proclaimed with joyful power and presence of your Holy Spirit. May the words that you speak to us go deep into our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Andrew. Good morning, family. It's always wonderful to be back here with you guys and being able to say thank you for your amazing support over many years. We've been out on the mission field for a long time now, and there's not many people that we know of whose churches continue to support them, not just financially, but in friendship and prayer and just support. As I always say, you can't be on the mission field, you can't actually really be anywhere unless you're connected into the body. Otherwise, you feel like a hand with no arm, and that's not a very good feeling. So thank you that you guys connect us into the body back here and that you're so supportive to us. As many of you know, we left a long time ago in year 2000 with enough faith and enough finances, packed our bag, and just the year kept, God kept adding the years and adding the years and adding the years. And I think perhaps if he'd said you were going to still be there in 2026, I might have said, well, no, I'm not. But God has a way of capturing our heart and our passions and directing us without us really knowing the end. But I do want to say that so many of us have questions, why this and why that, and why things happen in our lives and why things don't happen in our lives. But over the many years, I mean, I've been a Christian since I was 15, I have come to realise a great revelation that God doesn't change. And even though our circumstances change and we can question him and we can kind of fight with him, struggle with him, thank him for many things, not thank him for many things, he doesn't change, and he's the most amazing rock in our life and our foundation in our life, and that's what we see. We didn't really have an expectation when we went to Mozambique of what we'd be doing. Maybe that was a good thing. And we've weathered many things over there, but the one thing I know, that he remains the same. And it is kind of a cliche, but when you look back over your 66 years of life, you do realise that he doesn't change. And even though our circumstances, you know, you just end up with so many questions, you end up having to just lay down and say, okay, God, you're the same. Your word doesn't change. You don't change. And here we are. So thanks for partnering with us. You're very precious to us. Thank you so much for the years that you've all supported us and ongoing, and for the teams that come and those that pray for the teams. We're very, very grateful. So God bless and thank you.
Thanks, Roz, and thank you, Andrew, and the leadership of the church, always for opening the pulpit and giving us an opportunity to share. Because we love to share about the goodness of God. I don't count myself as a great preacher or teacher, but I love to share just stories about what God is doing in our lives that would encourage you for what God is doing in your life. About 9:15 last night, I thought that I would rip up my sermon and write a new one, because a few of us here were at the Brumbies game last night, and the Brumbies were down and out. This morning we could have just played the replay of the last few minutes of the game. And after the bell, when the game was over, the bell had rung. It was in the 81st or 82nd minute. The Brumbies scored a match-winning try and won the game. And I thought, you know, maybe I should change the sermon too. If you don't quit, you'll win. And I just felt the Lord saying this. The prize is after the full-time whistle. That is our prize. You know, heaven is our home. Heaven is our destiny. Heaven is our reward. And that's the prize at the end of the day as we serve Him for a short number of years on this earth. Maybe 70 or 80, or Roz's dad has just turned 93. Maybe. But that's very short time in comparison to eternity. That's our prize. And that's our goal, is we're looking towards heaven. I lost a very close friend about 12 months ago, a man who we ministered together with in Mozambique, and he passed away very quickly in Mozambique. And I was very upset, of course. But someone gave me a book called Heaven Is For Real. And it's stories about people who've had, I think they're called after-death experiences or something. They get a visitation of heaven. And heaven's going to be good. Heaven is glorious. Heaven is where our home is, and that's where we're going. And so don't forget, even if we're behind the result in this earth, we're winners, because on the other side, or full time, is our reward and is our prize. I felt that the Lord gave me this morning a scripture, or two scriptures, for the service this morning. The first one, or both of them, are very well known. The first is from Psalm 133 in verses 1 to 3. And I'm reading it this morning from the Message version. Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. It says this: "How wonderful, how beautiful, when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down the head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing, ordains eternal life. Where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, He commands a blessing." Here we are this morning, across the city, from across the nation, from across the world. I see different nationalities here, gathered together in the name of Jesus in unity. There's power in that. And I want to begin this morning, as you've heard in the news over the last 24 hours about what's happening in the Middle East, as Israel and America have bombed Iran. We're not sure whether the Ayatollah has been killed or not. But we are in times of crisis internationally, nationally, locally, perhaps within your family, perhaps with your health, perhaps with your finances, with your relationships. You're in crisis. What are we going to do? Where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, there I command a blessing. So I'm going to ask us, it's not the end of the service, but I'm going to ask us to stand this morning. I'm going to ask us that you join hands with the person next to you. You may not know who they are. You certainly, or you may not know the problems that they're going through. Personally, health-wise, family-wise, financially, job-wise. But I can assure you every person that is on either side of you is in need of a miracle. I am. And the world is in the need of a miracle today. We want to see this situation resolved in the Middle East. So we stand together representing the body of Christ, just a couple of hundred of us. But there's power where two or three gather together in his name. So we're going to pray. Maybe you're going to pray in Portuguese or English, or maybe you know another language. Maybe you know the languages of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for a whole minute, if we can do that. We're going to pray out aloud. And we're going to see heaven come down on earth. You know, it says when we pray, it's like pulling down little pieces of heaven. And Jesus will come crashing through the clouds. And that's what we pray this morning over your personal situation, over the miracle that you need here on earth, and over what's happening across the world. So without embarrassment, let's lift our voices and let's pray for the God of the miraculous to come in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning in Jesus' name and we pray. Father, we lift up before you the person on our left, the person on our right. Father, their issues, their problems, their concerns, their health, their sickness, their disasters, their catastrophes, their education, their finances, their employment, their future, their partners to be, their partners from the past. We pray for them, Lord Jesus. We pray for a miracle in their lives. And Father, we look further afield to what's happening in our nation. We pray for our government. We pray for our leaders, Lord Jesus. Give them wisdom beyond their party. Give them wisdom even beyond their beliefs. We pray, Lord Jesus, for miracles within the nation of Australia. And Father, as we look across the world, the disasters that are happening in Ukraine and the disasters that are happening in the Middle East, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to come. Father, we pray the God of the miraculous would come crashing through the clouds. And this morning, Lord Jesus, we stand together as the representing the body of Christ, as thousands and thousands of churches across the world are praying today, that they also would pray in unity. And your word says, we believe your word, that where we stand together in unity, there you command the blessing. We pray that in the mighty, 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 powerful, everlasting, eternal name of Jesus. Amen. Give the person next to you a hug. Don't be embarrassed, even if you don't know them. Thank you, Lord. It's always wonderful to come and to see lots of people that we know and probably more people that we don't know. It's a sign of a healthy body when there are people who stayed through the years, and it's also healthy that there are lots of new people and lots of families and perhaps many people that don't know a lot about us or what we've been doing. I'm not going to go over all of that, except to say this, that we began almost 25 years ago, and this church began to pray us out, support us, visit us, and have been our family, home-based supporting church for all of these 25 years. 2019, when COVID began, I think it was then, we got stuck in Australia for 2 years, and that was a time of us to begin the transition to new leadership on our base. And so we have a young couple whose names are Gusto and Clara. He's Mozambican, his wife is Brazilian. They are now racing ahead, which is wonderful. They're not doing it exactly the same way that I would, but it's okay. We're very proud of them, and they are doing an awesome job. But there's something, so since 2021, when COVID stopped, we visit now or go there twice a year, sometimes 3 months at a time, sometimes less, depending on circumstances. We're heading back there in May through August. And although they are now running the race, they are very honouring of us. That's part of the African culture. They honour the elderly, and they honour those who have gone before them. So they ask us to preach, they ask us to sit at the table of, if you like, of all the meetings, and to have input. And they are very honouring and they're very welcoming. We weren't sure what would happen after COVID. Many of the staff we don't know, because there's lots of new staff over 7 years. Many new children have come in who we come in and they don't really know who we are. But there's that honour of those who've gone before us. And I wanted to do that this morning because I get to see lots of people standing up here. I also wanted to just mention, wanted to honour those who began this ministry. And some of you may not know them. Peter and Judy Thompson, who are the founding pastors of this vision of this church. And they began, as Andrew said, in their lounge room, I think with four couples, and I think maybe three of those couples, Peter, are here this morning, of those four. Just two of them, okay. And it's because of their faithfulness back in 1989, until they handed over the church in whatever year that was, I can't remember, because of their faithfulness that we stand, if you like, on their shoulders. And yes, the ministry has moved on. It's perhaps changing direction. It's in a new building. It has new leadership. The focus is different. But it's because of those who stood before us. So I also just wanted to honour Peter, you and Judy, for your faithfulness, because we weren't there from the beginning. But from 1996, we were part of the church as it moved through different places across Canberra. And just until you move from Gladstone Street to here. So God bless you, Peter, and thank you. Amen. And it's wonderful to me to see, you know, it's the people who went before us that make us who we are. Tim and Jane O'Neill, some of you would know them. Tim and Jane. They were part, or if you like, of what was called Intercessors for Australia way back in the 1970s and 1980s, and they were an influential part of our lives as we joined with them to pray across the nation of Australia. And part of who we are was because of the ministry of people like Jane and Tim. As I look across the congregation, I see many of you who have come and visited us in Mozambique from the early years. Some of you back with Peter and Judy in 2001 and 2002. Others of you in 2008 and 2009. Some of you even last year and the year before. And we say thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your integrity. Thank you for your generosity in going before us, because we are thankful for what God is doing in your life that has touched our lives. Thank you so much. We even did Alison Baker, formerly Thompson. We remember doing her 16th birthday party. We've probably got a video of it somewhere, but anyway. Now she has children who are much older than 16, I don't know. Anyway, we bring you greetings this morning from Queensland, from the Gold Coast. As you know, Queensland is the home of the AFL and NRL champions. State of Origin champions, Olympic venue for 2032, and even the founding pastors are living in Queensland. I won't talk about Queensland being the home of Australian slang, sunstroke, or the G-string, but let's... greetings from Queensland. We bring you all our love and thankfulness from Maputo, Mozambique, from the base that you have prayed and supported for more than 25 years. Roz and I return there at the beginning of May. We'll need a few weeks to sweep the sand, to get the rice ready for the vision team who will visit from the end of May for a couple of weeks. We're also having, during that time, what's called the Harvest School of Missions, which is a school that started maybe 25 years ago in Pemba, where 200 or 300 students who had a heart for missions would gather for 3 months to both practically experience as well as to have teachers teaching and testimony of a life of missions, preparing people who may have a heart for missions. Since then, a vision of IRIS is that we are now doing small schools rather than schools of 200 and 300. So we are running a school from mid-May till mid-July where we have 25 students from across the world, 18 or 20 from various other countries, and 8 to 10 Mozambicans who will be studying and going out. The vision team will be there at the same time. We're very, very excited about that. I wanted to bring you greetings from Ernesto, a small, sick little baby who you began to support back in 2000. And I remember the church producing fridge magnets and praying for him. 3 years ago, at his own volition, he applied for and won a scholarship to study in Portugal. He's now finished his second year studying in IT. He's working as an Uber driver on his scooter. He did run into a parked car the other month, but he has survived. He's leading worship in the church, and he's thankful for his life. I asked him, because again, those of you who were here, but even not, just for him to send a message, and miraculously, he did. So I just wanted to show a little message that Ernesto sent during the week, if we can show that.
Hello, Vision Church. My name is Ernesto Masango. I'm sending this video to say thanks for the love, care, and support that you have given me since I was a little child. I will never forget how much you cared for me, especially when I was very sick. Your kindness and prayers made a big difference in my life. Today I'm 25 years old. I am living and studying here in Portugal. I'm enjoying living here, attending church here in my city. I'm a worship leader. I almost forgot to say I'm doing IT engineering course here in Portugal. I believe that I have been blessed in my life, and I know that Vision Church has been part of this blessing. The foundation you gave me when I was young, it helped to shape the man I am today. I just want to send my greetings, my love, and my heartfelt thanks for all of you. May God bless you, the church, and everyone there. Ciao, ciao. God bless you. Yeah.
That's a pretty good story. Because, you know, we have these little cliches at IRIS, and I'm sure you have, you know, Christian cliches. One of them is stop for the one. You know, we may not be able to influence thousands of people in our lives, But just for him, it's been worth it. Those of you who've journeyed with us over the years know the difficulties that this young man had. And some still has, but he whether it be hospitalisation or just education or his behaviour, his teenage years, all of those things. But we don't give up. We don't give up on our children. We don't give up on people in our family, and he's part of our family. And he's not at the end of the road yet. I know Drew and Alison visited him last year in Portugal, and I think he took him out for the day. But he really, really is growing to be a fine young man of God. And that's our desire in what we do. We all love things to happen instantaneously. Most things happen as part of our journey. So thank you. Thank you for your generosity and your support towards him. Iris Global, or Iris Ministries as it was named, became quite famous, if that's the right word, in the year 2000 because there were flooding, some of the largest floods, they say, since Noah. But we saw an opportunity as Iris stepped in to feed, to clothe, to house, to rescue, and to share the gospel. You see, that's what Jesus did. When people were hungry, he fed them. When people were naked, he clothed them. When people were sick, he healed them. And he shared the good news of Jesus. And that's what I believe he's called us to do. Not only for those of us who go to Mozambique. I love hearing reports about what you're doing on the community food program, for example, here. You feed the community. You go into the caravan parks. You invite people to come and you feed them. You love on them. You laugh with them. And you share the good news of Jesus. Well, you probably haven't seen it on the news, but again this month in 2026, there's been massive floods in the south of Mozambique. Thousands of people are homeless. It's another opportunity for us to feed, to clothe, to house, to give out solar Bibles and to present Jesus. You see, that's the gospel. The gospel also is a part about giving and about generosity. And as Roz shared, you've been very generous to Roz and I. I calculated about how much money you've given. And as I say most years, I don't know many missionaries that have received the longevity of support and the quantity of support that a church like Vision has given us. I know that you continue to pray about putting a new roof on this church building. What you've given us could have done more than two new roofs for your church. I've calculated that Andrew could have more than 10,000 haircuts with the money that you've given me. But thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to see lives changed, to see families brought together, to see youth educated, to see houses built, to see medical care given, and to see lives transformed by the message of Jesus and the gospel. That's why Ros and I still love to be there. Since being here last year, and the team will see in a few weeks' time, we've built six new classrooms. We're now doing a second story on the school. We've built a multi-purpose or a computer laboratory. We've built more than 20 community houses. We're planting new churches in the community. And we're holding many conferences. We read that scripture from Psalm 133. You see, we live in a world and in a time where the world is watching the church. In many nations, in many communities, in universities, the church is seeing enormous growth. But we are also in a time where pastors and leaders are falling and failing, and that the world is watching us. You and I not only represent the church, but we represent Jesus himself. You see, we need Jesus more than ever before, and we need each other. We must dwell together in unity. We must encourage one another. We still count this church, even though we don't live here, we still count this church as our home. Don't underemphasize the value of home. The second scripture the Lord gave me for this morning was from Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 to 15. Well-known verses. Jesus said, Matthew 5, verses 13 to 15, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot." It then says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel or a basket, but places the light on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father in heaven." It's our joy to welcome the team, I think of 10, who will be with us in less than 3 months' time. I want to pray for them, because why are they coming? They're coming because they represent Jesus. They come because they are salty. And they come because they carry the light of Jesus. They're not sure what they're going to do while they're there, because it's not their culture, it's not their language, it's not their comfort zone. But they carry the light of Jesus. And it doesn't mean it's only those who come to Mozambique carry the light of Jesus. The message this morning is that we are carriers of the light of Jesus. But if you're going to Mozambique in 3 months' time, we're hoping still to go, would you stand? We just want to pray a blessing over you from the family, the church family. 3, 4, 5, awesome. Wonderful. Let's just extend our hands towards them. If you're near them, you can put your hands on them, it's okay. If they fall over, it's okay. Start shaking, it's okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for people who say yes to you, not only these 7 or 8 that are standing, but Father, we pray for them as they prepare for Mozambique in May and June. Father, I pray, as it has for Roz and I, that they will never be the same again, because, Lord, they will encounter you while they're there. But also, Father, I pray that they would shine the light of Jesus to the children, to the youth, to the pastors, to the Harvest School students, to the churches, to the community, to the projects, to everyone they touch, everyone they speak to, everyone that they encounter. They will see these people carry the light of Jesus. So, Father, we bless them for their sacrifice, for their obedience. For those who have released them to go, we pray it would be an amazing time in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I can't tell you if it's too late to sign up, but anyway. I won't forget to tell you, I did write a book a year ago. It's a book of 25 stories like Anesto. I'm still a couple of thousand dollars behind in making a profit, but all proceeds for the book go to Iris. I have a few copies with me. I'll leave them at the church office, or if you see me after the service. It's just a story. It's a book of testimonies of amazing heroes who had every reason to give up on life, and they chose Jesus. And they're now, like Ernesto, they're studying, they're married, they're working, they're serving God in the church, and they share with you and I their story of the difficulties that they had and where they are now because of Jesus. So I have a few of those, if that interests you. So the verses that I read to you from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 15, are preceded in verses 3 to 12 of Matthew chapter 5. That Jesus is speaking to us in the, we call them the Beatitudes. He's speaking to you and to me, the believers, to those who are saved, to those Jesus declared to you and I that we are blessed, declared that we are to be blessed, we are to be poor in spirit, to those of us who mourn, to the meek, to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, to those who are merciful, to the pure in heart, to the peacemakers, and for those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He's preaching to the converted. The verses of salt and light in verses 13 to 15, it's a blessing for us to live out those Beatitudes and to move forward in our lives and to touch the lives of others. Jesus says in those verses, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. The salt and the light is not for ourselves alone. Salt is a gift that is given to us to separate and to flavor us. And his light is for the life of the world. If we do not have flavor of the salt with Christ in us, we are like salt that has lost its saltiness. If we do not illuminate darkness with Christ's presence, we are like a light that's hidden under a basket. We are of no use. Some of us will hear those words and think that we need to become something, or we need to get something that we do not have. But that's not what Jesus says. He does not say we should become salt. He says you are already salt. He does not say we are to become light. He says we are already light. We already are what we need to be. We already have all that we need. Now we must go and live the life of the ones who have been blessed and live a life of saltiness and of light. I remember going to Mozambique in those early years when I knew God was calling us. I thought, well, what am I going to do? I'm not a pastor and I'm not a preacher. I've not raised anyone from the dead. I'm not a carpenter. I'm just a math teacher. And the Lord said to me, I want you to sit in the sand and play with the kids. I want you to be a father to the fatherless and share his love. This was where I was to share his light, or my light. I was a child. I was brought up in Sydney, and occasionally used to get dressed up and with my shorts and long socks. I don't know if anyone wears shorts and long socks these days, but anyway. And we'd get the 396 bus from Maroubra Beach into the city with Mum and my three brothers and sisters. to visit the shops in Pitt Street and Market Street, George Street. My dad at that time had a boutique dress shop called Clarissa's, which was in Castlereagh Street. There was a strange old white-haired man in George Street handing out Bible tracts. Most of the tracts he had handed out were strewn over the floor. Very few people spoke with him. Actually seemed quite a distraction at the time. But this last week I did some research on him. His name was Frank Jenner. He lived in a small flat in Darlinghurst in Sydney. He retired from the Royal Navy in 1937, and for almost 40 years, every day on George Street, he handed out Bible tracts. As Frank passed out these gospel pamphlets to people, he would ask every single person, "If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" Very few people responded to his witness. Many would refuse the pamphlet. Others would receive it and keep walking. Many received it and just threw it on the floor. In April 1977, a pastor found Frank and shared with him the many testimonies of those who had received Jesus because of receiving these tracts. With tears in his eyes, Frank said, "I made a promise to God that I would share Christ with others. I wasn't consistent and I wasn't perfect at it. But when I retired more than 40 years ago, I began going down to George Street. I thought it was the best street because hundreds of people came shopping there every day. I never knew of even one person accepting Christ because of my witness until today." They talked into the evening and came to the conclusion that Frank Jenner had handed out more than 140,000 tracts. He'd asked at least 140,000 people, "If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" Frank Jenner died on May the 8th, 1977. Just 2 weeks before he passed, these pastors had visited him and brought him the stunning news of his fruitful ministry. Hundreds of people were at his funeral to bear witness of his faithfulness and his witness of Jesus. One author said very, very few had responded directly to Frank Jenner, but heaven knew about him, and I cannot imagine the fanfare and the joy when that man arrived home. You see, Frank Jenner was salt and light to the world. He lived a fruitful life, even though he never knew it. You see, as salt and light, we are to intentionally live out the kingdom of God. As we live it out, we will influence the world. It will lead to two results: flavoring the world with our saltiness, and presenting the light of Christ to the world. Roz and I had the privilege last year of going to visit Poland, Austria, Hungary, and Czechoslovakia. My parents were Holocaust survivors of the Second World War. We were able to go and visit their families and their places of worship, where they lived. And part of that, of course, was visiting Auschwitz. And close to Auschwitz is a famous salt mine. Can't even say the name of it, Wieliczka. It's in Krakow. Hundreds of kilometres of salt mines. And I read just one quick story from that salt mine. One of the rulers, or the princesses of the day, whose name was Princess Kinga, way back in the 1300s, for her dowry as a wedding present, she asked for a pure lump, or a lump of pure salt, workers were paid in salt. In those years, salt had a greater value than gold or of diamonds. The saltiness of Jesus in our life has great value. Did you know that pure salt cannot lose its saltiness? So why does Jesus say, if salt loses its flavour, how can it be seasoned? Most of the salt in Jesus' time came from the Dead Sea, which was full of impurities and other minerals. The harvested salt was not always pure. But as the church, we are called to be salty. That means we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. If we become like the world, we become like salt that's lost its flavour. But to be the salt of the earth, we must come in contact with the world. If we as the church become so influenced by the world that the church and the world look exactly the same, then we've lost our flavour. Should we become like monks, who with good motives they withdrew from society into their monasteries to live a holy life that is separated from the world? Or should we become a salt warehouse? Then we've missed what Jesus' lesson says. Salt must come in contact with the meat. If we don't relate to others in this culture, we won't make any difference in our society. When people look at you and I, are you different in terms of your values, in the way that you use your time, your money? Or do you watch and do the same things that they do? If we live by Jesus' countercultural principles, our lives should be very different from others. As salt, we are to prevent corruption in the world by living in this world, but not of this world. Not only are we the salt, but we are the light of the world. Salty covers us. Light enables us to shine. Wherever you are, what really matters is that you are light in the dark place. Of course, the biggest source of light is the sun. And when the sun shines on the other side of the earth, it's illuminated by the moon. The moon doesn't produce light, it only reflects the light from the sun. In the same way, we reflect the light of Jesus here on earth. Salt is hidden and invisible, but the light of Christ is opposite. And light draws attention. I promise you I am finishing. Isaiah chapter 60 to finish says this: we are to rise and shine. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The darkness will cover the earth, but the light of the Lord shall be seen upon you. You are the light of the world. We are called to live as a city on a hill that is not to be hidden. Hill cities in Israel were impressive sights. These cities would glow in the distance. You can't miss it. When we are lights of the world, everyone will know it, unless we hide it. God doesn't call us to hide our light, but to shine. We cannot live light-filled lives in our society without standing out in a world that is full of darkness. As individuals, we're called to be salt and light, but also corporately, as a church, we are to be here in Canberra, a city on a hill. You are in your life and in your workplace and in your family, a city on a hill. We are to show people as a church that this is what God's kingdom looks like. So, great sermon. What does that all mean? Be salt and light where God has called you to be. In Mozambique or in Canberra. On the golf course or at school. In the shops or with your neighbours. Shine the light of Jesus. Last week, Ros and I had a lunch with an elderly lady, and there were asked all a few people left in the world who are older than me, so I can call her elderly. She was older than me. Her and her husband retired, and they bought a caravan and were travelling round and round. And I think 4 years ago now, her husband suddenly passed away. She thought, well, what am I going to do? I no longer want to do this travel and so on. She bought into a retirement complex where there are, I think, are maybe 80 or 90 small houses. They have a community centre. She asked, could she have the community centre for one afternoon a week? She's not a preacher or a teacher or a worship leader. She downloads hymns and songs off the internet. She gets messages and podcasts off the internet. And more than 50 elderly people gather every Wednesday afternoon to worship and to hear the word. And of course, she gives an altar call every single Wednesday. Just an ordinary person, retired, no skill of preaching or no skill of worship, but shining the light of Jesus. So it says in Psalm 113, he's lifting the poor out of the dust to sit with kings and princes. When we first came in to touch with Iris, Ros and I were living in Toronto, Canada, at a church where their revival broke out in 1995. And there was a big message across the back of the church, which I've never forgotten, and to this day it's still there. It says to walk in God's love and to give it away. That's the message of the gospel. To walk in God's love and to give it away. Maybe this morning you don't know what it means to walk in God's love. You don't have that understanding of the love of God in your own life. Maybe you need to have some salt poured over you this morning because you don't know that Jesus. And you need the saltiness. Then as we pray this morning, I'm going to invite you and the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask that you come forward and there will be a team here that will pray for you. And if your light is under a bushel and you don't quite know how to get that cover off to shine, or you're fearful, or you're embarrassed, or you don't know, how can I shine my light? What gift have I got? Well, like that man in George Street in Sydney, or like the elderly lady who's just lost her husband, there's always an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus. Now, the good thing about family is that we're here to pray together. The only one who has all the answers is Jesus. And that's why we pray the name of Jesus. So don't lose an opportunity this morning if you want prayer. If you want prayer because you feel like you've lost your saltiness or you never had it, there will be someone to pray with you. If you want prayer to shine the light of Jesus in your area of influence, you may never ever come to Mozambique. That's okay. But God has placed you in a place of influence in your community, in your neighbourhood, in your area, in your ministry to share the light of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, not in the name of Iris or in the name of Mozambique or in the name of all of the stories, but in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus, you are our hope, you are our salvation, you are our eternity. And Lord, we want our days on this earth to count for you. So Father, we call on those who are not salty. We call them to come forward and receive, if you like, the breath of Jesus on their lives. And for those who don't know where to shine their light, Father, give them a boldness, give them a confidence in their small area, in their retirement village, on the corner of their street, in their neighbourhood or across the world, to shine the light of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a nation where we can gather like this morning and shout the name of Jesus without fear. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would, Lord, give us boldness share that light.